God is the creator of everything, and everything that God has created has a purpose given by Him. When man does not understand why God created what He has created, he leaves it up to himself to have his own reason and his own wisdom to understand it, which is a recipe for disaster. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11 read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." He has never done something just for the sake of doing it. God has a purpose in giving man the Bible, and every single purpose will be accomplished. Isaiah 55, verse 11. "So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." So you're going to be talking to us today about why God gave us the Bible. You are correct. But your topic says, speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. How does that correlate to why God gave us the Bible? Well, I'm glad you asked. I believe we have to understand why God gave us the Bible in order for us to understand why we should only speak where the Bible speaks and why we must speak where the Bible, or we must be silent where the Bible is silent. In this lesson, we'll explore some of the reasons God gave men the Bible, especially considering those which pertains to man's salvation. One of the first reasons God gave man the Bible was to show that man was lost. If God had not given man the Bible, man would not know about sin, heaven, or hell. Man would not know that he was lost. Man would not know that he was in need of a Savior. Until one recognizes that he has a need to be saved from his lost condition, he will never make effort to make a change in his life. He will never make an effort to take steps towards salvation. Sin dooms man to be lost. God created man as a pure and upright being. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. "Behold, I have found this, that God made man upright, but they have sought after many devices." When man disobeyed God and sinned, he was separated from God. Genesis chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. "Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he stationed the cherubim, and the flaming sword was turned in every direction to guard the way to the tree of life." As sin separated the first man and the first woman from God, sin separates us from God today as well. Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Man, because of his sins, is lost and is doomed to eternal death, separation from God, in the place of eternal punishment. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." How would man have known this if God would not have given him the Bible? He would have not. Man would have been lost and doomed for the duration of his life. Next, God gave man the Bible to assure man that he desires all to be saved. The Bible clearly states that God desires all to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. "This is a good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth, which is the word of God, is his means of salvation." John 17, verses 17. "Sanctify them in thy truth. Your word is truth. It is his power unto salvation." Romans 1:16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. It is his power to free men from sin." John 8, verse 32. "And you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In the Bible, one learns of the wonderful love God manifests towards mankind. His love allowed his son to die for the sacrifices for our sins. Romans 5, verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Such love shows God's intense desire for every soul to obtain salvation. The Bible reveals that Christ built his church to stand forever as a haven of refuge for all who obey him and are saved. Chapter 16, verse 19. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Every soul that is saved is added to the church. Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Bible shows people how they may be added to the church, to Christ's church. The Bible was also given to explain all that he has done to save men. God created man as an intelligent being. Man is able to reason, study, and understand. Genesis 1:26. God gave man the Bible to read and to study so that he may learn and understand the way of salvation. Now, the steps, the way of salvation, in the Old Testament, God chose Abraham from whom he would develop a nation of people. Genesis 12:1-3. God cultivated and tutored the nation for hundreds of years that through it he might bring the Savior, Jesus Christ, into the world. He blessed them when they were obedient, but severely punished them when they departed from his way. We know all of this because God has given us the Bible so that we may benefit from it. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in earlier times written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance, the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Shadows, types, prophecies, and promises are found which find their fulfillment in the New Testament. In the New Testament, one learns of the sacrificial death and the victorious resurrection and the glorious coronation of Christ as king over his kingdom. Acts 2:22-36. They also learn of the establishment of the church. Acts 2:1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. That the word of God has been given to serve man as an infallible guide in all matters pertaining to life and godliness. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All of this was done by God to save man from sin. God also gave us the Bible to reveal the meaning of salvation. Many people today either completely misunderstand or partially understand the great subject of salvation. There is no excuse for either above situations. God has revealed his way of salvation in such a way that all can understand it. Ephesians 3:3-5. That by the revelation there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, and it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and to the prophets in the Spirit. The Bible reveals the meaning of salvation. When one complies with God's conditions of pardon, all of his sins will be forgiven, never to be remembered against him again. The destiny of salvation, the end of the way of salvation, is the eternal home in heaven and a crown of life. The method of salvation, the method by which one is saved, is the belief and obedience to Jesus Christ. God also gave us the Bible to reveal what one must do to be saved. From the beginning of time, God has always revealed what he desires from men. The Bible reveals that the principles which affect salvation has been the same in every dispensation. Fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12:13. The conclusion is this: when all has been heard, it's to fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. Fear God and work righteousness. Acts 10:33-35. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I must certainly understand now that God is not the one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. God has revealed in the gospel what people must do in order to be saved. In order to be saved, one must hear the gospel, the word of God. Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One must believe in both the Father and the Son. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. One must repent of his sins. Acts 17, verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. One must confess his sins, confess the faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:10, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Mark 16, verse 16. The Bible was also given to reveal what man must do in order to remain saved. The Lord realized that his apostles would need help to finish the race. He also realized that we would need help to finish the race. He understood that they would be surrounded with worldly influences and the temptation would be strong. He knew that the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life would tempt many to leave him. Jesus prayed to the Father in behalf of his disciples that God might sanctify them by your truth. Your word is your truth. John 17, verse 17. This prayer reveals how one must remain saved. To sanctify means to set apart from the world and to consecrate oneself to God. This is accomplished by the word of God. When one applies the word of God to himself and lives by it, he is in fellowship with both the Father and the Son. 2 John 9. Anyone who goes too far does not abide in the teaching of Christ, does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son, and thus he has salvation. One must keep the commands of God, being faithful until the point of death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Do not fear for what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and yet you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give to you the crown of life. And he will receive the crown of life on that faithful day. In conclusion, God's purpose in giving man the Bible is only fulfilled when each person learns his message and applies it to his life so that he may have the salvation of his soul. Now that we understand why God has given us the Bible, there is nothing more that we need as Christians, as servants of God, to do. God has given us every single thing that he wants us to understand in his word. So as Christians, as disciples, as those who cast in light into darkness, in order to accomplish his goal and his will, we must read and study his word. I used to play football. The coach would give us a playbook. If I ran a different play than what was on the playbook, I was going to get in trouble by my coach. A lot of people would like to change the plays and say, well, I know a play that is better. God doesn't want us to change the plays because we don't know a play that was better. If we did know something that was better, he would not have gave us the Bible. I believe in order for us to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent, we must understand that every single goal is going to be accomplished by his word. To save a soul is going to be accomplished by his word. When we go out into the world and we see souls that are lost and we give them the instruction from the word of God that they are lost, they can understand that we are not telling them that. God is telling them that. When we give them a way of salvation, we don't conjure it up in our own mind and say, this is what we believe. No, this is what God believes. When we tell them, this is how you stay saved. These are the steps that you need to take to solidify salvation into your life so that you can finish the race. It's not conjured up by my own mind. It's in the word of God. We play a game at school, and I work at an elementary, and it's called the telephone game. I'm sure many of you have heard of it. The teacher starts off by telling one student a specific topic. She may say, the sky is blue, and then it's their responsibility for that student to pass it on to the next students in line. Well, somehow, at the end, the last person says, when you ask him what the teacher says, she says, 1, 2, buckle my shoe. How did that happen? See, this is what happens when we only listen to other people and we don't go back to the source. When somebody's speaking about the word of God, you don't take it from them. You go back to the word of God and take it from the word of God. If we do that, then everybody's going to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Also, I work at Best Buy. And when you put on a blue shirt, everybody expects you to be an expert, no matter what department you're in. If you're selling TVs, refrigerators, microwaves, whatever, they expect you to be an expert. So sometimes I feel like we are expected to be expert as well. Me being a preacher, I'm expected to be an expert about the knowledge, and you as well. If you are in the Church of Christ and somebody comes out and asks you a question, they expect you to know it. At Best Buy, when they ask somebody a question and they don't know it, they ramble off some generic answer that doesn't apply to anything about what the product is asking. But the person is not wise enough to understand that they are not telling the truth, okay? So when we as Christians, as preachers, as teachers, if somebody asks us something that we don't understand, we don't just make it up. We say, I don't understand it. Let me get back to you. It's okay. We can tell them anything that sounds good, any type of fluff, and we may be able to get them to believe what we're saying is true. Maybe they don't know. But God knows that what we are saying is not true. And if we don't know, we go back and study it. That's how we speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. It's vital for us to do it. Because we must remember that every false word, God is going to hold us accountable to. So the last thing that I have is Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. I testify to everyone who hears these words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from them, from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which is written in this book. Do not add, do not take away. Speak where the Bible speaks, be silent where the Bible is silent. Thank you.